If you would please join me, we're going to be in John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 8. John 15, reading verses 1 to 8. And if you would please stand to receive God's word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for the guidance that comes in the Holy Spirit. And we ask now, Lord, that you help us to give ourselves to that truth, that we may follow in a way that is pleasing to you, that we may live out our lives that are pleasing sacrifices. Help us, Lord, to receive your truth, to not only bring it into our hearts and minds, but to bring it into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So what does that look like? What does that look like when we're bearing fruit and we're doing things that show that we are disciples? Does that look like things of the world, or does that look like things of Jesus Christ? Well, I hope that answer is fairly simple. You know, that it comes in what Christ does. It comes in the things that Christ has taught us and the example that he has set for us. And so as we live our lives, then that's what other people see in us. They see that example. That we are the example. Certainly, as I stand up here, I'm an example. As we lead your church, that we are examples. And as we see these examples, and we want them to be godly, they should be godly because they should bear this fruit. But there is a problem that arises out of man, and that's his sinful nature. And back in Matthew chapter 13, in verses 8 and 9, Jesus is teaching this parable of the soils. And he talks about the soils that fall away, and then he talks about the good soil. He says, still other seed fall on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And so this is what he tells us. There's bad soil, there's good soil. This is the good soil. It reproduces. It bears crops. And it does so in the form of 100, 60, or 30 times from what was sown. So whatever it is, there will be more of that. Whatever the seeds that are sown there. And this, of course, is the gospel that he's referring to. And then a little later, as they ask, he says, well, what does that mean? How do we deal with that in our lives? How do we take that and make that and make that into something? How do we take that fruit and grow that and make it to be more? And then later he explains to them, he says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Okay, so they heard the word, they understood the word. He says, this is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So in other words, what Jesus wants them to understand is the word is the teaching that I bring you that plants itself into you, and that's what grows. And then what happens next? What happens to us then as we grow and we start to bear more fruit? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at how this all works out, because we have to ask ourselves that question. Do we bear fruit? If we follow Christ and he is our example and we walk that path, are we doing what he calls us to do? And I think that's important because, you see, Jesus has a plan of salvation that he has brought us into, that he wants us to understand that. He didn't just show up, you know, and then just walk away. Rather, he stayed and he taught and he helped us to see the path that we need to be on. He didn't leave us just hanging out there. He wanted us to understand these things. So it's important that we bring ourselves to them. It's important that we look at ourselves and understand if we are doing that, if we are following Jesus the way we are supposed to be following Jesus. Now, with our chapter here, so if you would just kind of keep your finger there on John 15, I'm going to have you go back to the chapter before. We're going to use a lot of that chapter. Let me rephrase that. We're not going to use a lot of it. I mean, we're going to use some of it. We're not going to go through the whole thing. I'm hoping that at some point you will, if you haven't already gone through John 14. But see, here's where when we try to understand something in the scriptures that we're sharing, we have to go back to the places where it helps us to understand. And if you look at John chapter 14 and verse 5, this is how this conversation starts. Jesus has been talking to them. He says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a room for you. My father has a house and it has many rooms, and so I'm going to prepare this. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you to come to. All right. In other words, paradise, heaven. So in 14:5, Thomas says to Jesus, he actually asks him, he says, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? So you're going to prepare this place for us. How do we get there, Lord? How do we do that? Now, I think that that's a very simple and question that needs to be asked, and we should always ask that. You know, how? How do we get there? How do we follow you? In verse 6 of 14, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so here Jesus lays down the standard. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Only through Jesus can we get there. So he eliminates a lot of other things, doesn't he? He eliminates this thing about, you know, the mountain and God's on top of the mountain and there's many ways up the mountains. He eliminates that. He eliminates that there's more than one way. He says there is only one way to reach God's house in that room that is being prepared for you. There's only one way. Now, we say, well, that's very exclusive of him, don't you think? And yes, it is. But isn't he being very honest to us, too? That as he says to us that here is the truth, he says to us, here is what God has for you. He says, here's how you get there. How loving would it be of Jesus if he said, well, but just try to figure it out on your own. I hope you make it. You know, it wouldn't be. So he brings this answer up that says, here is how you do it. It becomes very specific. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, he's exclusive, but he is very honest. And he is telling us that God the Creator has sent Son the Creator to help us and to understand that this is how you come back. This is how you get to the home that waits for us in heaven. So as we see then, Thomas asks this question, Jesus gives him a straightforward answer. He says, this is how you do it. You're going to follow me. But I think sometimes for us, we wonder, well, what does that mean? What does that mean to follow Jesus? So if I'm following him, you know, does that mean that I have to be just, you know, on my best behavior? Does that mean that, you know, maybe if I just, you know, give some money away? Does it mean that if I donate my time, you know, is that what we're doing? Is that mean that I'm following? And, you know, unfortunately, I think sometimes, you know, in our worldly ways, we still kind of think that. We think that if our behavior is good, then we must be following Jesus. That if we're doing something that, you know, hey, nobody got hurt from it, then we're okay. We can still do these things that we want to do. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus never stopped there. He looked at all of us. He looked at all the way through us. That when he looked at us, he says, this is how you know. This is how you will understand. This is what I give to you so that you'll know that you're following the way that you are on this path. And so it becomes more than just doing good things. It becomes a sacrifice of life. It becomes a sacrifice in love. Now, if you would, in that 14, follow just a little bit further down into verse 11. Philip has kind of made a statement. Philip says, you know, hey, you know what? If you just show us the Father, we'll be good with that. You know, that'll be enough for us. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He can, you know, he reminds him, you know, Philip, you know, you've seen me. You know the Father. The Father's in me and I'm in the Father. And then so in verse 11, he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will, believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. All right, so here it is. He says, this is what you have to do, Philip. This is what you have to do, Thomas. You have to believe in me. You must believe these things about me. Believe when I tell you these things. And so as you believe these things, and you believe at least in the evidence of the works themselves, which the greatest one was about to come, they were going to crucify him, he was going to raise himself from the dead, and then he would stand among them. But yet they don't know that yet. They're still waiting and they're still wondering about these things. But he has shown them some great signs. He has shown them, this is who I am. These are the signs that you have been expecting, and I have shown them to you. At least believe those. If you will not believe Jesus himself, believe those signs. Believe the things that he has shown to you. And he says, so whoever believes in them, believes in Jesus, believes in me, will do the works that I have been doing. This is where we come to the moment of our understanding of who Jesus Christ is. You see, it wasn't a matter for Jesus to come and say, hey, do you believe in me? And we say, sure, I believe in you. And he says, okay, great. Then he goes away. But rather, he says, you will do the things that I have been doing. You will do these things that I have done so that then you will show others. It's not a matter of just belief, but rather is a matter of action and doing. He's not asking them just to believe in me and then we'll take it from there. But rather he's saying, here's what you believe, you will go do. Then you do these things. These are the fruits that we're looking for. What is it that Jesus did is what we're looking for. How do we know if we're following the path that Jesus has set for us? We look at Jesus. And he says to us, this is what he does. He shows us what he does. And he says that if you do those works that I've been doing, they will do even greater things than these. What greater things are we going to do than what Jesus did? What greater things can we do? You know, do you wonder about these things when you look at them? Do you wonder, you know, what is it that Jesus says that I'm going to do that's greater? Well, imagine this for a second. Okay, so Jesus is in the world. He's showing these signs to all these people. He's doing miracles, right? And they're seeing these miracles, and they're following him around, and they want to know more. They want to know Jesus. You know, so what does Jesus do? You know, he tells them, you know, this is who I am. I'm the Son of God. This is what you're doing wrong. He brings them to their sins. He helps them to repent. He shows them that they need to repent. Okay, so he gets right to the point. He gets at it, and he says, this is what we're going to do. So as he does that, we kind of think, well, is there an unfair advantage here that he, the Son of God, would have this ability to perform miracles? But Jesus himself says, you're going to do this even greater than I am, because you're going to take your faith, and your faith then is going to go and be shown to other people's faith. And as other people learn of your faith in Jesus Christ, then they will become followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. We say, well, why would they follow me? That's the greatest thing. That as your faith shows, your faith shows of Jesus Christ in the lives of others, that you become then the sign. You become this moment in their lives that they look at you and they say, there's Jesus Christ. There is the one that he follows. He acts like him. He is that now that example. That is the greater thing. Do you realize the power that it would take from God to put in us that we would show others and they would come to faith in Jesus Christ? That you would take this very information, that you would take what we call knowledge, in other words, the understanding of Scripture, that you would take that and you would live it out in your lives and you would share that with other people. And as they heard that then, they say, well, who's this Jesus you talk about? Who's this one that you know that he puts in you this confidence and this courage to live out in a world that is dark? The long black train. What gives you the courage not to step on the train? What gives you the ability not to do that? Imagine the great power that is working in you when that happens. Imagine the great faith that it takes not to step onto that train. Imagine what it takes in all of us to do the things that God said for us to do, when it is much easier to sit in here and do nothing. When it's much easier to take our lives and protect and say, well, you know, on Sundays I go over and I go to church and stuff, but, you know, whatever you do is fine. You know, imagine the courage and the power that it takes to move us from one place to the other, that to move from just believing to actually doing greater things than what Jesus did. So a little bit later in verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. Okay, there's another part of our fruit. Okay, so there's the fruit that we believe in Jesus and then we walk out in the world and we do. We're disciples. You know, that means we follow Jesus. And so as disciples then, we go out and we show the world. We're disciples. There's no doubt about that. You know, we're disciples of Jesus Christ. But then Jesus lays this on them, and he lays it on us. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. Isn't that what that is? When someone gives you a command, aren't they telling you to do something? And he says, well, if you love me, keep them. That's what he's telling you to do. Keep the commands. And so as we look, I say, well, what are those? Well, that, obviously that brings us right back into Scripture. That brings us right back into these things. What am I supposed to be doing? Isn't it obvious that sometimes later in Matthew 28 that Jesus says, go out and make disciples of all the nations? Do you think he's telling us or asking us? Do you think that what he's kind of thinks that really be a good idea? You could prevent a lot of problems if you just turn them all into disciples. No, he's commanding us. He's telling us, this is what you're going to do, and that you should then do it. Okay, so then a little bit later in 14 and 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. There it is again. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Okay, so he makes this very relational. He makes it a part of our lives that as we reveal, as he's revealed to us and we reveal this to others, that we start to understand that this is Jesus' plan. He is using us to reach others. He's using us to bring this good news. He's using us to help people to follow Jesus Christ. But we can't help if we don't know. And we can't help if we don't have that faith. And that if we don't have that faith, how will we ever reach out there and show them, this is the faith that I have in Jesus Christ. This is the one who saved me. This is the one who gave me the life that I live now. How many of you heard about a shooting at a church here recently? How many of you heard about that? Who do we trust above all things? Who do we trust in our lives that he has a plan for all of us? Who do we trust that we're following his way and not our way? Who is it that we have faith in? And who is it that says that he's the power and that the power works in us and through us? Who is it that we look at and we say, well, this is the one that we follow? So what do we do now when people out there say, well, you know, this whole Jesus thing, maybe you should just keep that in your house. Maybe you should just keep that in your life. Do we follow what they say about that? Do we step back into what we're supposed to do? Or do we stand up and say, whatever comes, may come? And that as we stand in our faith and we stand in front of others, we stand ready to defend ourselves, or we stand ready to protect ourselves. We stand ready in all these things because we know that God stands with us. Why is it then when we come to the moment that they say, well, here is the faith that I have, we say, well, maybe I'm not going to tell them. I don't want to offend anybody. What changes in us that brings us to this moment where we won't express that faith? What brings us to the moment that when someone is standing, or rather kneeling, and someone says, I'm going to cut your head off, or you deny Jesus Christ and I'll let you live, and says, forget it. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Off comes the head. What gives us that kind of courage? What gives us that kind of power and ability to stand in those things and to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior no matter what happens next? How will we know the way? How will we know how to find our place and our way there to the house that has many rooms and that has a room waiting for us? How? How will we do that? Jesus Christ. Jesus has a plan of salvation for us. Jesus is bringing us to these moments that we will know him, and he reveals this to you. He reveals this to you because you are followers. You have committed yourself to Jesus Christ, and he wants you to understand that this is what I'm doing. I am showing you the way. You say, well, how come everybody else doesn't follow that? They don't see it because he hasn't revealed it to them. He hasn't shown it to them. He hasn't pulled from their hearts the things that they need to have for him, like love. And they will not obey his commands. They will not follow him. Let's turn back to our scripture and look at verse 15. I'm sorry, I misdirected you on that one. Don't worry about verse 15. Somebody's up here preaching, I'm not sure who it is. So are we following Jesus? Are we following Christ? Are we on the path? Are we walking behind him? So if you would now join me back into our scripture. Actually, the verse that I do want to land on is verse 4. So as we read our scripture today, and it says that we're bearing this fruit of the vine, that something comes of this, that something comes of the vine, and that in verse 4, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So see, Jesus makes this clear in the chapter before. And so as we come into this and we look at this vine and this fruit, and that we try to understand, what does he mean by these things? What is he trying to tell us here? That of course we know that Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He wants us to understand how we stay attached to that vine. Without the vine, we will not live. You'll have a life, but you will not live. And so that as that then you become not in Jesus, and then the Lord, the gardener, he cuts that, he prunes that, he cuts that off, he casts that aside, and he says, if you don't follow Jesus, that then he will take that and he will throw that into the fire. It withers away, it dries up, he burns it, there's no use for it. But those, then, that bear fruit, he will prune, and he will make them so that they bear even more fruit. He will make them so that they become even more faithful. That when we face these moments, as we walk this path that Jesus has set for us, that as we continue to suffer these things or to deal with these problems or even to deal with some of the fears, that then when we come to this moment that he will prune us and he will continue to work on you and to grow that faith in you. You must understand this. Faith is not stagnant. Faith doesn't just sit still. It grows. It becomes more and more. And not only so much that it becomes more in you, but then it becomes more in others as you share that with others. That as they start to see your faith. You see, here's the thing. Should we be afraid when something like what happened in Springfield, Texas happens? Should we be afraid? Are you afraid? Are you frightened that that might happen here? Do you think that might be the case? Do you think that someone could come storming our doors and shoot down your pastor? Stop thinking about that. Is it possible that these things could happen to us? Well, the answer has to be yes. We live in a world that is filled with evil. It has to be yes. But what do we do? What do we do about this? Of course, organizationally, there's some things that we could talk about. There's some things that we can do. But above all of the things, we must remember that what Jesus tells us in verse 4 is that we must depend on him. We must depend on what he does and what he has taught us, what he has shown us, what he has brought us through, what he did for us. We must depend on the things that he lifts us up in faith. We must depend on that above all things first. First and foremost, that we must look to see the one who is leading the way. But you see, but as he does these things, or we're brought through these things, we wonder where his plan is. Well, his plan is in place. It's always been in place. God never changes. That as he brings us to these moments, that he continues to look at us, are you growing in your faith? Are you becoming more? So in other words, is your response to the things, whether it's a church shooting or anything else in your life, is your response to this godly? Is it in Christ? Is it what Christ would have you do? Is it what Christ did? Do we look at these things and do we see to them that that we're doing what he did? So you see, isn't that simple? That if you want to know how something is done and you watch somebody do it, say, you know, the first time you watch someone drive a car, you know, you want to do it, so then you tried it, maybe you kind of didn't do it so well yourself, but as you watched and you learned, you know, you got better at it, and before too long you were dangerous on the road all by yourself. But here comes then what Jesus says. He says, do it this way. He makes it very simple. He makes it helpful for us in that we can understand it. And that as he does it, he gives us this example. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, go out and bear fruit. And if you want to know that if you're still attached to the vine, you will bear fruit. So as we look at ourselves, and this is always the hard part, is to look at ourselves and to ask ourselves, are we bearing fruit of Jesus Christ? Are we bearing the fruit of the vine? That is very hard for us to see. Because when we respond to things, the first thing that happens is we let the world creep in our heads. We let the world creep in. And if the world would hate and attack others, then, you know, well, that's what we think we should do. If the world thinks that, well, you know, a little less Jesus and a little bit more this, then that's what we do. But you see, that's where we're not following Christ. Because what Christ did when it was Jesus, and they didn't like that, he gave them more of him. But when he saw other things going on, he made sure that it was corrected. He made sure that it was in line with what Christ had taught. And he showed us a courage. He showed us a courage that we can have. That we have to have the ability to see these things in a way that God would want us. And I don't have the specifics on this, so correct me wherever you need to correct me. But it seems to me that the first thing that the mother of the 14-year-old daughter of the pastor said when she got back into Texas, she forgave him. She forgave him. She realized that her daughter was in heaven, but they didn't want, you know, they miss her, of course, and love her. But she understood and gave faith to God. She gave credit to what Christ has done. Is that what we're called to do? Of course. It certainly doesn't mean that it won't hurt, and it certainly doesn't mean it won't scare us, and it certainly doesn't mean, you know, that that we're anything more than what we're supposed to be. Usually we're just what we are. But that doesn't mean that we can't lean on the dependence of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we can't see Him as the true vine. That we understand that somehow or other He's going to prune us through this. I am not going to let go of You, Jesus. Because I know that as You bring me through this, that I know that You will make my faith grow. And then as You grow my faith, then fruit will show on me. The fruit of what You have done in me, Jesus, will show. And then as that fruit shows and others come and they want to know where it comes from, I'm going to point them right to You. I want them, Lord, to understand, even in my dying breath, that it's Jesus Christ who saves me for all eternity, that it is Jesus Christ who gives me life, even in a world that's already dead. And that as we have this life and we live it out, we must understand who it is that we're following. Who are you disciples of? Are you disciples of Jesus Christ? Or are you disciples of the world? And then as we bring ourselves to this understanding that we must bring ourselves to this understanding too, where that the centrality of all that Jesus commanded us to do, He told you to love one another. He commanded us to love one another. That Jesus says this is what's central. It's central in your life and essential in the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ is love. And we're not talking about the shallow kind of fake love that Ben Ramirez can put out sometimes. But we're talking about the real true love that God is. We are talking about God Himself. That kind of love that we have for each other, that it's a godly love, that it's a love in Jesus Christ. He says, this is what you will focus everything on. Your foundation will be how much He loves you and how much you love Him. Your foundation will be what He's shown to us, that He loves His Father, He obeys the Father. And He says, so here's what you will do. If you obey my commands, then you will be in me. If you obey my commands, and I tell you to love one another, then you will love one another. Of course, right away, we start coming up with things. Well, what does that mean? How do you love one another? How do you show love to somebody that you just don't like? How do you do that? Well, we haven't come up with a real good way sometimes, have we? I think that sometimes, and this is my confession. When I heard about the shooting and I was watching the news for like about 15 hours, and they said the guy was dead. They shot him. Or he shot himself, I guess. Here's my confession. My first thought was coward. What a coward. Why not face up to it? And let us be the ones that shoot you. But you see, that's not what He calls us to do. Those aren't godly thoughts. Those are sinful thoughts. Those are responses in hate and anger and disbelief even. Not in God, but in the world. It's like, how could you do that to people? How could you stand in front of somebody and shoot them and they have no gun? You see, it takes real courage to go into a war, doesn't it? Because those people are shooting back. But you go into a church where there's a whole bunch of people in there that you're going to shoot and they're probably going to forgive you. They're going to kill you and you're probably going to say, I forgive them. Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. That was Stephen. And that was Jesus. He did what his master did. That he showed him this forgiveness. He showed him this resolve to never back off on his faith and never to give in to the world. We must bring ourselves to understand that. We can do what we need to do. We can go forward in any way that we need to go forward, but we must remember the one that we're following. We cannot let go of that. We cannot let go for that love, and we cannot give ourselves over to the world. Do not let yourselves go over to the world. That's your pastor's giving you an order, okay? That's an order. All right? Do not go over to the world. Now, I know some of you still will, and I know that maybe even I will. But we must remember that Jesus doesn't want us to, that Jesus will be there to bring us back onto the path. We must remember that. That is when we start to be pruned and we start to show more fruit and we start to realize that I have done something wrong. You see, we don't like that. We don't like it when people, you know, come to us and they point out our sins. We just don't like that. We don't like it when Jesus does that. If you're with me in chapter 15, I'd like for you to come with me to verse 12. It's further than our reading. Okay, there's his command. He says, "This is my command. Love each other as I have loved you." Now come with me a little further into verse 16. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other." Okay? Notice the jump from 16 to 17. He says, "I chose you and I appointed you. And you are going to go out and you are going to bear this fruit. In one way or the other, you are going to show your faith. You are going to show people that you follow Jesus Christ. This is the seed that he planted in the sower, in the parable of the sower. It was the word of God. It was the gospel. It was the only thing. Jesus says, I am the only way. This is the only truth." And so he took that and he handed that over. And he says, "This is what you're going to do with this. You are going to take this because I chose you." Imagine that. Imagine that God chose you. Imagine that. The creator of the universe. The creator of the universe says, you are going to take this. I appoint you. And then you take that and you go forward and you show that. He says, "I chose you. I gave you your faith. Everything you have, I have given to you. That it is yours because I gave it to you and I appointed it to you. That you might do this. Bear fruit. Fruit that will last." There's a reference to heaven. Fruit that is stored in heaven. Your treasure's in heaven. He says, "So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." In other words, we will do the will of God. We will ask and pray for the will of God. That we will bring ourselves to stand in the will of God. And if the will of God is that we will suffer things and that we will grow because of that, then we will stand and we will suffer things. That as we go through these things, that we must remember that it is our God that watches over us. There is no greater guardian than Him. Okay, there is nothing out there that will protect us more than Him. And you see, but those people got killed. They died. Is that a punishment? Or did they go home to the reward? That as we bring ourselves to understand life and death, which do we cling to more? Of course we cling to life more. But then there's a time that God says that you will go home. That you will come back to me. That you will come to this house that has many rooms. And this one is prepared for you. You got that? He chose you. He appointed you. He's got a room with your name on it. It sits there and it waits for you. Now, I know I don't want you to be in a hurry to get there. None of us should be. But whose plan is it anyway? Who is the one who decides? Who is the one that just lets evil run rampant in our towns? And that Jesus then comes and he says, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to take this to the evil and you're going to deal with the evil in this way." Come with me a little bit further than... I'm sorry, I'm going to go off by myself. I'm hoping that this is God preaching. That this is the Holy Spirit. Because in 1 John, in chapter 5, 1-4, he says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands." Okay? He gives that to us. This is how you love God. "And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world." Wait for it. Here it comes. "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." This is the victory, loving God. He says, but this is also the victory, your faith in God. This is what we're going to do, loved ones. This is what we're going to do. Is that, and a challenge this week that I want to give you, is that this is what we're going to do. We are going to evaluate ourselves. We're going to look at ourselves. And we're going to ask ourselves where our sins are. You see, Jesus says that people will hate us. People will hate us to the point that they will kill us. To the point that they want you dead. Why is that? Why do they want you dead? You're good people. Or is it because you follow a God that brought His Son into the world and the Son said to them, these are your sins. And you will either repent of them or you will die condemned in them. That He brought this message out to us so that we would understand that this is the way home, loved ones. This is the way home. That He said, this is how you will overcome the world with your faith. Don't hide your faith. Don't let them scare you into staying inside the buildings and hiding behind protection. Don't let them do that to you. Wear it proudly if you have to. But never be ashamed to bring the gospel, the word of God, to the people who are lost out there in the world who do know what it takes to pick up a gun and shoot someone who is unarmed. Or who's willing to use drugs, or who's willing to do any other kind of evil act in the world. You have that message. You have it. God has given it to you. And He says, take this and make more with it. And it will be scary, and you'll be frightened many times, and you'll sometimes think that I just can't do it because, you know, people won't like me. You know, people think that I'm crazy. They think you're crazy already. Crazy Christians. I mean, there isn't much about us that isn't weird. Come on now. Compared to the world, Jesus came in the world and He says, here's an upside down world. And He started taking people and turning them right side up, didn't He? Well, to them, we look upside down. We look weird. And I think oftentimes we live it. We look weird. We are weird. But that's because they don't know Him. They don't know Him. People out there, loved ones, don't know Jesus Christ. And they will perish at the hands of the gardener. He will cut them from the vine, and He will let them wither, and He will throw them in the fire. Our challenge, then, is not to hide in the building. Our challenge is to get back out there and not let Satan win this war. Because he doesn't in the end. All you'll end up doing is getting on his long black train and following it to where he's going to take you. And it will be easy to do that. But remember that when God cuts away at those who stay in the vine, he's pruning you, he's making you more. He's helping you to be faithful. My challenge to you is to let him. Let him. Look at your lives. Repent of your sins. Give yourself to the Lord. You will understand what it is to be secured and confident in the safety of our God. Of the one who leads us. The one who is the truth, the way, and the life. Father, I just thank you so much.